Welcome to a new episode of Operation Gundog. We hope you enjoy it.
Back.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Yukonuba Sporting Dog. If you want to get everything your dog's got, you need nutrition that holds nothing back. To help unleash your dog's maximum potential, check out the new Yukonuba Premium Performance Lineup at yukonubasportingdog.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are on episode number 28, 28 the Great, where we're going to talk about introduction to multiples. So basically, starting to run doubles with your dogs. And this is something that Dominic and I have both been working on with a few dogs here recently. So Dominic, why don't you get us started and let us know a little bit about what you've been working on with the intro to multiples.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as you begin to progress your dog through singles and you show a good number of concepts with singles, you need to continue to push your dog some. Once your dog is really just front-footing marks or putting on, you know, good tight hunts, you need to start to challenge them a little bit more. And that's when we start to bring in multiples. Also, if you're progressing your dog to get from a junior to a senior or from started to seasoned, that's when they're going to introduce multiples. So training for that is kind of like, you know, any of the other training that we do is you kind of want to introduce things stepwise. And I've even seen some people, you know, take two bumpers with, you know, a 16-week-old puppy and just, you know, chuck one way out in the open, chuck one the other way out in the open, all white bumpers. Hey, go get that one. All right, let's see if you remember where this one is. And, you know, just work with that puppy and see what natural memory they have. And you'd be surprised to see how much memory a puppy would have. But I don't say any of that to say that we start teaching multiples with young puppies, but it is one of those things you can see what natural memory your dog might have. But when you're starting to introduce multiples, you want to kind of go through the mechanics of it first. That way your dog is able to build some success and some confidence through the mechanics of it that can help transition it to true doubles. So one way that you can do that is what's called bird-in-the-mouth singles. So bird-in-the-mouth singles runs a dog through the exact same mechanics and the exact same process of a multiple, but the dog gets the success of singles and gets the simplicity of singles as well. So a bird-in-the-mouth single is where, you know, maybe you have two, possibly three wingers set up, and you plan to just run all the marks as singles for the dog. Well, you send your dog to go pick up bird number one. It comes back to heel, and you leave the bird in the dog's mouth. You have mark number two go off, and that dog watches mark number two fall. You take the bird from the dog's mouth. Where's your mark? Good. Dog's name. And you send it. And what you're doing there is you're allowing the dog to, you know, start building that muscle memory of come into heel with a bird in my mouth. There's another bird out there. And that's how you start to build multiples into your dog's just daily training.
So let me chime in real quick. Sure. So the bird in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Is that working on, you know, in addition to, you know, kind of introducing, we're talking about introducing multiples, but is the biggest piece of the bird in the mouth like a steadiness thing? Or
I think steady. So I think as you start working multiples and your dog starts to anticipate more than one bird coming out, it can help build steadiness. And oftentimes I've noticed if we were working on heel work or something, if Sailor had something in her mouth, she tended to heel better than otherwise. It might help, But I don't think it's really one of those core things that you're trying to work on. One of the things you're really trying to work on is that dog's focus and just the mechanics of it. So say you set up two marks out in the field and one's a little bit of a longer mark. When you start bringing your dog in and you have that second mark out there getting ready to go off, you're able to bring your dog into heel with the bird in the mouth, send off mark number two, take the bird from the dog's mouth. Where's your mark? Good, right there. Way out. Good. And you start to build that. The dog marked it the same as a single, but your dog is starting to learn your cues, your communication at the line. So if the dog goes, oh yeah, you know, when I started coming to the line with the bird in my mouth and he says, where's your mark? Way out. It's going to be a little bit further out there than, you know, 40 yards. Maybe I'm going to have to stretch my legs a little bit on this one. So you're building that foundation for that communication at the line. You're also building the focus of come in, sit down, watch something. You're building the overall mechanics of I come in to heel with a bird in my mouth and there's another thing out there for me to go watch. So it's multifaceted, but I don't think steadiness is any of the prime factors you're working on in that situation.
Right. Well, I do agree with what you said about throwing multiples can help with steadiness in itself. And I've trained dogs that would have liked to have broken, you know, break mm-hmm. on a bird, but if I hang out long enough, maybe a second bird will come out, you know, and then I can go after that and I'll get two birds, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
So, I can definitely relate to that. I think, you know, another thing that you're, you know, mentioning, you know, you're talking about, you know, coming back with the bird in the mouth and coming to heel. And I think this is one of those places where, you know, when you start introducing multiples, this is where you can't have the gap in your training. Like if your dog's obedience isn't good, if your dog's heel isn't good, if your dog's sit isn't good, you're not going to be able to line your dog. You're not going to be able to have your dog sit there and wait, you know, for a second bird to come out. You're not going to be able to redirect your dog if they're not looking in the right spot for the, say, the memory bird. Mm-hmm. All this stuff that you've done up to this point and every other podcast episode that we've discussed, it all builds into this, you know, if you don't have your solid obedience, you ain't ready for this.
Mm-hmm. And with one of the episodes we did recently talking about intro to blinds, when your dog starts running blinds and, you know, getting through the pattern blind process, getting through the swim by process and starting to run multiples, your dog is, you know, your dog is right there on the cusp of being a transition dog on its way from, you know, basics to advanced training. So right. Like you said, that foundation, once you start transitioning your dog into that advanced gun dog program or that advanced level, you're almost leaving foundation behind because you should have worked on that so much leading up to that. I'm not saying you'd never have to go back and play a game of traffic cop or, you know, something to tighten things up, but that's where, you know, there's a difference between basics and advanced.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned foundation, and I can't help to think about like some of the stuff that you're doing during foundations that you're building on that makes this part a little easier. And for instance, whenever I've kind of picked up more recently was with puppies, you can do this. And it's just, after you have established some sort of, an obedience, you know, in your puppy obedience, say you got, you pick up an 8-week old puppy and you start working on sit and you start working on heel and you start working on place, all that stuff. Once you get them a little bit of an understanding of that, there's a really cool drill that's not very complicated that I picked up recently. I don't know who, I can't remember who does the drill, but it's on YouTube, and it's a lady. She, I think she's training indoors, and she's got little puppies that she's teaching marking, quote unquote. And she puts out cans, like, you know, canned
like
goods.
Alpo dog food.
There you cans. Go. Yeah. Like soup cans or whatever, you know, and she starts off with one, and she's putting a treat on top. And she sends the dog to the treat, and then she recalls the dog. Your dog has to have recall. When the dog comes back, she gets the dog to sit. She treats the dog. And it becomes a little bit of a game, you know, with the dogs. And eventually you add that. She adds a second can. I say can because that's what she was using. First time I tried it, my dog picked up the treat and then brought the can back to me. So I don't think that was the point of the drill. So what I found to work a little bit better to kind of get this point across without having to worry about my dog carrying cans all over the yard. And it's probably a better drill for indoors or, you know, freshly mowed grass. Like it doesn't have to be, you know, a big picture thing. This is a tight little drill, basically just getting the dog to go to one place and come back. And then you're adding that second place, and you don't want them to go to the first place, then the second place, then come back. So you got to have a decent recall, out and in. Mm-hmm. But what I used instead of the cans was a upside down, dog food bowl because they can't really grab it or pick it up. And so, for me, you know, with my puppies, I do treat training. And when I say treat training, it's either kibble or, cut up pieces of hot dogs, and they picked it up really quick. And it, in addition to, you know, going out there locating, which they can see it, you're basically lining them to it. But you know, picking up that treat and return, you're working a lot of things there, you know, that are going to help you in the long run. Your recall, your sit, you're waiting patiently until you're sent. I mean, you're not steadying the dog at this point, but, you know, you try to grab their collar when they come back and kind of line them up for the next one, but they get it. And then when you get to the point that, hey, let's run a double 6 months later, they have an understanding of it. That's, you know, that they have in their foundation, which I think really helps. Another drill that I really like to do for puppies, and I feel like it again builds into something bigger, like running doubles, is using two place boards, and you know, developing the ability to send your dog send to place to one place board, and then have them return to you and send to the second place board, come back and return to you. That's I think that helps with overall foundation wise, not having a dog that gets hyper-focused on that first bird that pops out, and they've learned at a younger age that, hey, you know, there, I might have another command right after this, so I need to pay attention. I can't just focus on this one thing. You know, of course they love birds and they're going to be focused on it. But, you know, if you build up to that, I don't think it's as big of a thing for them. I think it's something you can build up to and it not be, you know, such a task later on.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, with those puppies, you're kind of building, like you said, that muscle memory, that you know, that focus. That
that's a great word, muscle memory. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what the mechanics are for these dogs is, you know, I've done this a million times that, you know, when I go out there on the million and one, it's, you know, autopilot for me. I don't have to, you know, worry about, hey, there's two trees in front of me. Do I need to go to the right of the right tree or the left of the left tree? No. Hey, he lined me up I split trees for the past year and a half. I'm just going to carry this on. It's between these trees. But as far as, you know, kind of circling back to progressing a dog through multiples, you know, a lot of it too is confidence, because if you have a dog that's never seen a multiple before and you try to throw a double for it and there's no foundations there whatsoever, it's never picked up two birds that were thrown at the same time or, you know, in sequence, your chances are you'll send your dog on that go bird. It'll come back to heel and say, good, where's your mark? And that dog just starts swinging its head around, doesn't know what's out there. Maybe you don't use where's your mark. Maybe, you know, the dog just comes into heel and sits there. And you say the dog's name again, and it doesn't do anything. It looks up at you like, yeah, just brought you the bird back. You know, that's confidence. The dog is unsure of what you're asking for. Maybe it takes a stutter step forward. And you know, a way to build that confidence,
yeah,
instead of continuing that bird in the mouth single process.
Let's take just a little step back.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you're building up to that point. I think that you can build up to that point without the dog necessarily even being a wonderful marker. As far as, you know, running doubles, you start this thing, you start it off as simple as can be. You got white bumpers, big ones, 3-inch white bumpers, maybe black and white bumpers, either way, but you're on freshly mowed grass. You throw the little double, and but the dog can see it plain as day from the line. And so they didn't necessarily even really have to mark it in the beginning, because as long as you can get them to look out in that direction, that's going to be the confidence they need to go pick it up, because they can see it, you know, in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think you build on that to make it, you know, a little more difficult to where, you know, eventually they, you know, it's in, you know, higher cover or, you know, a little more complicated. But I think it's important to remember, anytime you introduce anything for the first time, you want to keep it about as simple as possible and then complicate it over time.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's definitely a great option if you have the grounds to do that on and the ability to do that. If you're one of those guys like I was, like John has been in that position as well, where you go out and train with a local pro or a local club and they say, hey, this is the setup I'm running my dogs on. And you look at it and you're like, okay, there's three singles my dog can run. But you're thinking, well, you know, this dog is starting to transition to multiples. How can I run this setup in such a way that I can have my dog pick something in this up as a double? And one good method for doing that is what's called teaching the double, or teaching the memory bird. And that process is, you know, you throw that memory bird first as a single. Your dog marks it, goes out there, picks it up, and brings it back to you. Well, now that dog is now familiar with that throw and the area of the fall and that mark. Now you turn around, you take that bumper from them, and then, you know, you throw the double. So then maybe bird gets thrown right again. And then your go bird gets thrown, and you send on the go bird. Dog goes and picks that up, brings it back to you, and now you're getting ready to send your dog right back to a place that it was one mark or two marks ago. So you take that bumper from them, call their name, send them out there, and that is building confidence and teaching them how to run doubles.
So let me stop you there. Now that we're kind of talking about running setups in a field, I'm imagining winger hides now.
Mm-hmm.
Going from winger hides at this point? Okay. So what is something that you could do to simplify that for you know, building confidence. You got two bumpers or two ducks coming out of a winger high.
Well, I mean, at that point, I'm still throwing stand-up marks, or what I'm thinking of is still having some sort of stand-up marks, whether that means you have a bird boy out there, or if you're fortunate enough to own two wingers,
yeah,
you maybe, you know, stake out a, take like a little T-post or one of those little, you know, plastic fence posts from Tractor Supply, stake it in the ground and hang a white jacket on it, or some sort of jacket on it, just so it mimics a standout mark if you had a bird boy.
You say standout mark, what you're mm-hmm. meaning is if you have a bird boy, they're going to step outside of the winger hide and make themselves mm-hmm. visible.
Yes.
And if you don't have a bird boy and you are using a winger behind a hide, you want to have a bucket out there, or a, you know, white pole with a jacket on it, like something that mm-hmm. they're familiar with running towards.
Hmm.
Yeah. It. Yep.
Yep. Exactly. And you know, that's a way to simplify it a little bit. Typically, with dogs that are in that transition phase, I'm not familiar with a lot of people taking a dog that is just transitioning out of singles and doing any sort of retired birds with it. I feel like, you know, being able to build a dog that marks well with a standout mark, retired birds can come a little bit later on. But like with Sailor, even leading up to hunt test work, if I could have someone do standout marks, or, you know, walking singles or something like that, it's still strengthening or marking. I'm not going to avoid doing that leading up to a hunt test just because the hunt test is going to come out of a winger hide. But kind of steering back to the whole teaching the double, you know, building that confidence and building those mechanics are really going to set the tone for what your dog thinks about running multiple birds. Is your dog just as excited to get sent on a memory bird as it is the go bird? And that's where you can kind of
build that
confidence, build that success, and build the mechanics of it.
So let's talk a little bit about like problems that your dog may have during this process. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not always perfect.
If
your dog's not screwing up, you're not training hard enough, you know?
Yeah.
So let's say you throw your first double out there. Maybe you didn't do as much foundation work and preparation, and they're just so excited to see two birds out there that they decide, I'm going to pick both of these suckers up. What would you do as the handler if your dog either does this or starts to do this, you know?
So do you mean like you throw two birds out there, your dog goes out, picks up one bird and decides to start running towards the second one?
Either your dog goes over, you know, picks one up and goes over to the second bird, and, you know, let's say they get it or they attempt to get it. What could we tell our audience to do in this situation?
So option number one, if you don't have a good foundation on that dog, is you have to be a track star and beat that dog to the second bird.
If you don't have a bird boy.
You don't have a bird boy, yeah.
Right.
You now have to beat that dog to that bird because you don't want them to kind of get that.
Yeah, that's a victory for them.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want them to feel like that was a success or they did something good because, hey, I got to come over here and pick up a second bird.
Right.
Really, the primary option and the primary solution to that is have a foundation set that has a truly rock solid recall. It doesn't matter if a squirrel runs right across, you know, a sidewalk or your backyard or something like that. If you recall your dog, it should come to you. The same kind of goes for working that double. If your dog wants to try to switch on a double early on, you know, lean on your obedience. Be able to recall that dog. If the dog doesn't recall but knows a whistle sit, hit that whistle sit. Make them sit down and then recall them. Get them, you know, take their mind off of, I got to go get the second bird right now.
Right. Yep. So you're, you would build that up in a simpler situation. The recall, I'm saying, you're not going to teach recall with two ducks on the ground out there. You know, you've got to build up to that, and, you don't get to check the recall box. Hey, we're done with this. Like, whenever you call your dog five times and he comes back, you know, you have to, build up, your distractions, and, you have to do it in multiple, environments, different locations with different distractions, different obstacles out there, just focusing on that, recall, and then recall with a duck in their mouth or a bumper in their mouth. Wait till you get to the, your seasoned hunt test and you got a diversion bird. Like, if you don't have your recall down, they're going to drop that first bird and go hop over and grab that diversion, you know?
Yeah. And, I'm not, for our general listeners, a lot of them, I assume, are like you and me, where we have our personal dogs. Like, Sailor is my personal dog. She's a house dog. She goes to work with me every day and she gets some training in. But, you know, when we go to town on weekends or something, we go walk through downtown or something, she needs that rock solid obedience. And for other people that are in a similar situation where, you know, your dog's not
in the kennel back,
you know, in the back of the house or anything, and you go to let your dog out, well, you need to have some sort of recall. Recall, stability is number one. So having sit be really your anchor command that you can always lean on, and having recall as a tight second place to that, is some of the most important things for not only, you know, being able to enjoy your dog, but also your dog's safety. Like, I've told the story before where I let Sailor out a couple months ago and a stray dog popped out from behind my shed in the back of the house, and she tried to chase it back out into the woods, get it off the property. And I let her chase it just enough and said, no, here. And she turned right around and came back. Well, if I don't have rock solid obedience, I don't have good recall, that's a different situation. That's me going through the woods trying to find my dog because she decided to go chase the stray off. So obedience and recall is such a big thing that you know, talking about that foundation before you start moving into advanced work, recall is just one of those things that I think would solve that issue with the dog trying to not necessarily switch, but double up on that retrieve.
Right.
You know, thinking about troubleshooting, and it's probably less of a issue, but I kind of mentioned it a little bit ago. What do you do if you throw that double for your dog and go to send them on the memory bird and they no-go you, or they give you a little stutter step and then look back at you because they have no clue where they're going? Mm-hmm. How would you go about fixing that?
You asking, or do you have an answer?
Well, I'll kind of give my idea, and then I'd like to pick your brain on it, see what you think. Because there's a lot of different scenarios here, whether you have a bird boy or whether you don't, and things like that. But we'll just pretend that we shot out of a winger. So, you know, one shot, that's all we got.
It's like an Eminem song or something, huh?
Something like that. But one way you can kind of start to simplify that for your dog, since you don't get a fire drill, you don't get a second bumper, second bird to fall in that area, you can always, you know, take a couple steps forward, simplify it. You know, you take five steps forward and send your dog again. They still no go. You can, you know, keep taking steps. And eventually, if your dog's been marking before, you probably could do that two times and the dog's going to go, oh, okay, I know where I'm going now. This is a little bit of a clearer picture. And at that point, you've only shortened that mark by, you know, 10 yards at most. But that's kind of one way I would go about solving it if I don't have a bird boy or somebody to give some help out in the field to really pull the dog back out there and help that confidence. John, how would you kind of approach that situation? Because that's probably going to be one of the most most common reactions a dog's going to have to their first couple of multiples.
Yeah. I mean, the one word that comes to my mind, and you said it, was simplify. And, for every dog, it might be something different, and it depends on where you're at with your dog and, and what part of training. I mean, if you've been through, pattern blinds and forced to pile and stuff like that, like there might be some mannerisms that you've picked up or they've picked up, from you, in those stages that can help you send the dog, even though they don't know that the bird is out there. But, I like what you said about, moving up a little bit. I think you could nothing to get frustrated over. I mean, if they're having trouble running back to the memory bird, I think, hey, maybe run it as a single again and then try to do it as a double afterwards. Those are the two, basically, at some point, you get to the point where rerunning something is kind of rewarding your dog for not like doing it right the first time. But at this point, we're still teaching the dog. And I think it does help, to get them out there if it's the confidence of going out there, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. And in those situations, I really do think it comes back down to confidence. And like you said, another good option is, well, did I move forward from, bird of the mouth, taught doubles straight into doubles? Do I need to take a step back some and build some more confidence and some more, mechanics into it, more muscle memory, like we said.
Right. What are you going to do in a hunt? Like, not everybody runs hunt tests. What are you going to do in a hunt if you got two birds out there, they go pick up one and they didn't see the other one? I'm gonna throw a piece of dirt.
Yeah, dirt clod.
Yeah. So, you just got to get them going in that direction and just build up that confidence. Another thing that you can do, if marking one particular bird or, is an issue, like kind of litter the area with some birds or bumpers or whatever you got so that, once they get out there, they find success. If your dog has a poor hunt, it might be helpful to give them a little success every once in a while. Those are other options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the idea of littering bumpers, especially if you're starting to work your dog in some tall cover and your dog's not confident around cover. That's another way to help their confidence. And next time they see a piece of cover, maybe that's when they start, hitting it just as hard as they were when they're outside of it and carrying on that line, finding the bird and picking it up.
Having five or six bumpers out there and then finding one of them is better than them searching for the one bumper, not finding it and starting to come back to you or giving up and starting peeing or pooping,
getting sidetracked.
Yeah. You got to pick your battles and, sometimes giving a little success and then backing off of it, making it a little more challenging is, important for a dog that's not so confident.
Mm-hmm. I can, the only other troubleshooting thing I can come up with is if you're, shooting from the hip, trying to throw some doubles for your dog and, you try to send on a go bird and the dog goes and picks up the memory bird. How would you approach that, John?
Oh, man. In training?
Yeah. You're just sitting out there with your dog at heel and you're throwing two from the hip to work on multiples and the dog decides it doesn't want to go for the go bird and wants to go pick up that memory bird first.
Oh, man. I would probably... That's a good question. Well, it depends on where your dog is in training. And, for some dogs, you know, you could stop them before they get there. I don't know if your dog's able to do that at this point, but I would probably widen my angle of, you know, marks, you know, between marks, make a wider angle between marks. That way, you know, if you are lining to the go bird, they're less likely to, you know, change directions, in route or just blow you off if they're facing, you know, the complete other way. Maybe you make the go bird a little closer, a little more appetizing, you know, than the memory bird. That'd be a couple of things I would do. I guess it kind of depends on where your dog is in training and, you know, how much you want to nitpick it. I mean, if I'm in a test and my dog, you know, got them lined up for one dog and they decide lined up for one bird and they decide to go to the other, I'm just going to let them do it. let them roll with it. I mean, what would like to do, but at that point, you just need to hope that when you get them back, you can line them up for the other one.
Talk them into that bird.
Yeah, please go this one. Hope you don't get pulled away for some other distraction.
Yeah, I definitely agree with making sure you're throwing them wide enough apart, and you know, doing what you can as far as a setup goes from just shooting from the hip. Another thing you can do, same as you know I mentioned before, is take a step towards that go bird. You know, throw them out there.
Yeah.
Take a step towards that go bird. Make sure they're lined up.
Right. Heel and step up. If you got the bird boy, man, you got there's a lot of these issues that we're talking about. If you've got a friend that you train with that can pick up a bird for them making a mistake, you know, if it's something you just don't want them to win, you know, don't want them to find the victory on this, you know, then that's always a really nice thing to be able to offer a denial in there. I feel like that is the best correction out there, man.
Aside from a collar correction.
I don't know, man. Dude, denials are pretty good. Like with, I feel like a denial on a, you know, you're coming back, they're coming back from a mark and the diversion bird comes out. And, you know, I guess you can hear nick them or they can, you know, you can pick up the diversion bird before they get to it. Pretty soon, I guess either way they learn that, you know, that's not the object of this activity, but yeah.
I think it depends on the dog too. If your dog is absolutely crazy for, you know, we've talked about it before, the dog love languages and everything you hear about.
Yeah. That's a good point.
If, you know, one dog, just they could give a care less about anything but going and picking something up and bring it back to you. Yeah. That denial is going to be a pretty big stinger for them.
Oh yeah,
that's actually something I use with Sailor as a
well,
puppy.
Well, that's the dog. That's the dog that you have this problem with, though. You know,
The one that wants to go out there so bad that they're willing to go, you know, pick up any of the birds that were thrown.
Yeah, man, that you know that brings you know we're talking about you know issues at this point and kind of combating those, but. And we've talked about switching, but we haven't really talked about, and I've seen this a few times, but the dog that can't take their eyes off of the first mark and won't look at the second mark. Have you seen that much?
Not with Sailor. There are a couple of dogs that get a little fixated on it, but typically if you set up a wide enough angle, you can talk your dog into it. Even if you have to take a couple steps towards that bird, or maybe, you know, you get some sound coming from that winger if you use electronics, or, you know, get a hey-hey from a bird boy, you know, whatever it takes, you can. I haven't been in a situation where it was impossible to pull that dog off of it, if that makes sense.
I've been in a situation where what you think would pull the dog off of that bird didn't work. You know, blowing the duck call like it's going out of style. Like, look at me. Hey, you know, and still focused on it. But I think that's another thing where you go back to your obedience, you know, and if you've got a good heel and you can turn with your dog to take their eyes off of that, you know, to realign, to see this other bird come out, you know, that's something you got to have obedience wise in your repertoire. If you have that dog.
Yeah. Well,
or you pick it up, you know, yeah. Quit looking at it. If I pick it up, you know, maybe you're a little less hyper-focused on it. Mm-hmm. So we can get the other one out, you know.
I will say one thing that's troubleshooting, and it might not be a common issue for some of the listeners, or, you know, maybe there's a couple out there that it will. One of the things Sailor wanted to do when we started doing Bird in the Mouth singles is she wanted to come in and look up at me, which from an obedience standpoint is great. Eye contact is amazing in an obedience standpoint. But when she's watching that bird, that second bird go down with the bird in her mouth and it lands and she looks up at me to take the bird from her, goes, she just took her eyes off that field. She lost the picture a little bit and it kind of affects that marking some. So, you know,
yeah, no, that's a good point.
What do you do with that dog? That's, you know, it just loves everything about you or whoever's running it. And it just wants to look up at you like, here's this bird, take this bird. I want to go get that other one, and won't look out at the field.
Man, that's that's an interesting thought. I don't know that I have the answer to that.
Well, with Sailor, I with her, you know, it wasn't, you know, fixated on me, but it was just bird lands. Okay, take this boss. I want to go get it. Look at me. Like,
yeah.
All I did is just, you know, talk her back into it. No, I'm not going to take that bird from you. Where's your mark? She looks out there. Good, good. Go take the bird from her. Take it from her. Sailor. Send her on it. And, you know, we're talking about it, you know, not even a week's worth of running some reps. Okay, now she goes and picks up bird number one, comes into heel, locks right back out there to where bird number two is, and we're running,
yeah, you know,
doubles and taught doubles right now.
The more you kind of talk about the situation, I haven't had a huge issue with that. I have had some crossover issues, like from HRC to AKC, where I'm blowing the duck call and the gun's going off, you know, from the bucket, from, you know, the handler, and in HRC. And then, so they might look to you a little bit more in that regard. But, you know, and then transitioning over to AKC, all the noise is out in the field, the boom's out in the field, the duck call's out in the field. It's a little change of pace, and they might look more towards the field, which is nice. I think, you know, what you talk about with the, you know, Sailor looking at you to be released or to take this duck from me so I can be released. I think that you can't, it's kind of like being steady, you know, whenever you're getting to that phase that you're letting go of that steady tab, you don't let go of it while they're pulling on it. You know, you let go of it whenever you know that they're not. When they're settled, you know that they're settled and you know that they're ready. And so they start to develop this, like, oh, he's not going to let me go until I settle. And mm-hmm. so you don't let her go until she looks back out there. You take that bird from her, and that's the reward. Don't reward her with your eye contact and taking the bird from her ever, or else that'll be what she's looking for, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I just about covered everything I can on intro to doubles within one episode. John, do you have anything else you'd like to add to
today? I'm going to be honest. Like, I didn't think that that we could have this much to talk about on multiples. I don't run a lot of multiples. I tend to do more, you know, complicated singles. I might mm-hmm. run a little like a few multiples just for like, you know, before a test that multiples are going to be thrown in. But it's not like something that's like I put a lot of focus on. So to have an episode and have enough to talk about on it about multiples, I'm kind of proud of us, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too. You can teach a lot of concepts, and definitely get your dog exposed to a lot of concepts using just difficult singles. But one thing you can't practice on the multiple side without multiples is that memory, or running past, you know, a fresh fall that I literally just ran past, short of, you know, just throwing singles right by each other. I think, you know, it depends on long-term goals and short-term goals as to kind of which one you do, if you're throwing a bunch of multiples or if you're, you know, just running a bunch of concept singles and, you know, doing something to build memory elsewhere.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. You know, what your goals are, and just to be forward thinking of what you know, what you're doing right now that's going to lead into you know, what's important for the future of your dog. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's probably some hunters out there that aren't going to run any tests that would be happy as can be that their dog went and picked up two birds and came back. You know, so
yeah. Well, there's a reason hunt tests, you know, when you get up to master and finish level, you're still only shooting three birds.
Right.
Well, I mean, your guns, if you're hunting legally and you're not on a conservation hunt, your gun's only going to hold three shells. So in theory, running multiples is the same as you just got a, you know, you just got a whole flock decoy in at you, and you got the chance to, you know, drop three of them. Well, you want your dog to be able to go out there and pick all three up.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Well, we definitely enjoy getting to talk to each other for you guys as our listeners. So if you guys enjoyed this week's episode, please leave us a review and a rate, or rate and review, or both, or, you know, whatever it is on whatever streaming platform you're on. We love to see that feedback. I know I've seen a couple of your comments. I do go back and read reviews. I know John does as well, because we are interested in your feedback, your DMs, all that stuff, because we like to hear what you guys have for input. We also like to know what you guys are interested in hearing about. So make sure you continue to you know, pursue those avenues if there's a topic that we haven't discussed yet that you want discussed in more detail. And, you know, we'll continue to put out content that you guys play over and over and over again. It still blows my mind how many of our listeners are constantly tuning into our episodes. I don't think I could stand to listen to myself talk that much, but I'm glad that you guys enjoy hearing us talk. So if you get a couple seconds after this episode, feel free to reach out in any of those ways. And John, you want to close us out?
Yeah, just to kind of echo Dominic, you know, if you know, we have some newer trainers out there that are looking for you know, or have some questions, just looking for a little guidance. Never a time that either one of us get a you know, a question via Instagram or anywhere else that we don't, you know, try to come up with a pretty decent answer. And if we don't know the answer, we'll ask somebody that does and make sure that you you know, get what you're looking for. So feel free to ask us questions. Don't be bashful. Neither one of us are.
So, yeah, we're always happy to be a resource to anybody in any way we can be.
Right. And you know, for the most part, you know, we do this podcast for you know, the people that are getting into it, and we love training our dogs, and we want other people to love it too, and we want the space to continue to grow, and we want you know, to carry this on for future generations. So,
mm-hmm. For sure. So from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you guys, our listeners, and we look forward to having you back for another episode.